I sure do love that song. Praise the Lord. I love what the song says, and thankful that some things, although it feels like a lot is changing, some things do not change. And the Word of God and the power of God is more applicable maybe than ever before. I'm thankful for that. Thank you for praying for Jacob. Had a young adults fellowship last night. Say, that's not allowed. Well, we did it online, and everyone kind of signed in through their computer. So got to see him. He sounded great. And so thank you for praying for him. Pray for Mr. Lauk, Bill Lauk. He wasn't feeling so well. And he's had a kind of a middle grade fever. He got tested. So we're waiting to hear back the results of that. So please be in prayer for Mr. Lauk. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7, this morning, this afternoon, or this evening, depending on when you are opening them. Matthew chapter 7, we are encouraged as Christians to pray. Encouraged to pray. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Here we are encouraged as Christians to pray. To pray. God promises that He hears us, and God promises that He answers our prayers. Now here's one of the circumstances. The difficulties about prayer. Sometimes we don't like the answers. There's multiple answers God gives us. He might say yes. He might say no. But I feel like one of the hardest answers to deal with in prayer is this thought: wait. Just wait. Waiting is difficult. I am not wired to wait. I don't know about you. Maybe you're better at patience. Maybe you're better at enduring and going through those long sufferings and all of that. I'm just not. I just don't feel like I'm wired to wait. I like to be in traffic that's moving. I like to be in a drive-through that's moving. I don't wait well. And sometimes as I speak to the Lord, sometimes He tells me to wait. That's difficult for me. Maybe that's difficult for you. This morning I'm going to try and share with you through the Scriptures maybe the value of waiting. The scene is this: Christ has been crucified. He's risen again. He actually has walked on the earth for 40 days. Could you imagine the resurrected Christ walking about for 40 days? What could be accomplished? What would be said? We don't have a lot of details of those days. The Scripture just doesn't reveal much to us about that. He interacted with this one or that one. We see the road to Emmaus. But we don't see many miracles. We're just not told of them. Did they happen? Oh, I'm sure. Did He teach and preach? Oh, I'm sure. Did He heal? Oh, I'm sure. We just don't know. But for 40 days, He walks around the earth. And then the Bible says this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." Christ tells His disciples, He says, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay in Jerusalem." Tells them, He says, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but look at, "but wait." Oh, Lord, give us something else to do. Anything. Let us go here or go there, but just don't make us wait. He says, "No, wait. But wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me." His instruction to them as He leaves earth, if we turn over to Acts chapter 1 and verse 12, it says this: "Then returned they to Jerusalem." What just happens? Christ is taken out. He leaves. And they returned unto Jerusalem, just like they said, just like they were told, from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. Christ says, "When I leave, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait." He leaves. So So what do? They return back to Jerusalem and wait. Wait in the upper room. This is probably the hardest process for the Christian to go through. In your life, waiting on God. Why is it such a difficult? Why is it so conflicting? Why does it feel like I'm sometimes fighting against God Himself? Because that's exactly what waiting on God is. It is yielding your will to His. Acknowledging He knows better than you. It is dealing with God's timing, not yours. It's humbling. It's hard. But God uses that waiting time to help change us. So this morning, we're going to look at five ways, the benefits of waiting in the upper room. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for today. Thank You for the songs. Lord, I'm thankful that, Lord, although some things may change, God, I know that You change not. Lord, I'm thankful for the songs of Zion to sing together in our hearts. Lord, it's important for us to stay near the cross. Lord, we do love You, and I am thankful that You take little and make much of it. Lord, I pray that as we open up Your word, God, as those that watch and listen, God, You'll use this to minister, that You'll convict where needed, where You'll encourage where needed. God, would You do a great work with this now? Lord, help it to be a help. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Waiting in the upper room. God uses the waiting time to help change us, to help mold us, to change us into something that He desires in us. But I agree, waiting on God is a hard process. We see it all the time in our young people. Young people, what do they want? They're at this point in their life, and they want to be over here. Yeah, but over here is not the right time for that. They get ahead of themselves, or get into maybe relationships or circumstances that might be right, but just at a later date. Man, it is sometimes hard for our young people to wait. Adults, sometimes it is hard to wait on God as we progress through our life and feel like we should be further along, or we got these great aspirations to do for the Lord. And the Lord says, that's really good, but you're just not ready for that yet. Wait. But it is amazing to me how He does bring the desires of our heart around. Gives us an opportunity to be able to serve Him in a way that maybe was only a dream to us. But in His timing. Here the disciples, what happens? Christ leaves. He says, go back to Jerusalem. And again in verse 13. And then when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. There they are, sitting in an upper room, just waiting. What are they doing? Waiting. Number one, waiting in the upper room, it is a place, now listen, for fellowship. Say, how waiting on God is a place for fellowship. Remember back, I just want to present a thought to you. How did they go to this place? He sent them to Jerusalem. He didn't say, go to a specific place in Jerusalem. But it was all like they knew where to go. It says this, where abode, as we continue Acts chapter 1 and verse 13, where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zealots and Judas the brother of James. How did they all know where to go? Could it possibly be that they have been in this room before? That this room was a special place for them? In Luke chapter 22 and verse 12, it says, this is in preparation for the Passover. As we go back in time a little bit, Luke chapter 22 and verse 12, and He shall show you a large upper room furnished. I don't think it's a coincidence that they find themselves in an upper room again. Same phrasing that Christ sent them to that was prepared and ready. And He shall show you an upper room furnished there, make ready. And they went and found as He had said. and they made ready the Passover. What happened there? They had the Passover with the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a place, a very special place. It was a place of fellowship. The Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. This is after the resurrection. What do? They find themselves in this room together. What room? Could it possibly be that same upper room? It could be. Is it possible? Certainly. And what happens? Christ shows up. We know Thomas is not there. Thomas is out. He comes back to that same room. Is it possible that in Acts chapter 1, the upper room that they all go to was a place that was so special to them? They had such a special connection with Christ himself. Could it be that they returned to this place while waiting just to have a remembrance of fellowship with God himself? We see this in Genesis chapter 28. Remember Jacob. Jacob wrestles with the Lord himself. The place was once called Luz. And after there, he says that, I know God was in this place. And he changes the name of the city to the name that we use today, Bethel. Some years later, he goes back to Bethel. Why? Because that was the last time he had connection with the Lord. Is it possible that as we are waiting for God, as we are waiting in the upper room, why did they go to the upper room? Because that was the last place they had deep fellowship with God. Hey, if I can encourage you here today, as you are waiting on the Lord, don't go rogue, don't go crazy, don't go out to the world. Go to a place where you had fellowship with God, mixed around with people that desire to serve him, love him, that are aware of him, that have a relationship with him. As we're waiting for God, that does not mean we shut ourselves into our house and just stay alone and that we become hermits. No, we ought to be in a place where we are fellowshipping. Say, Pastor, that just doesn't work well these days. I'm not sure if you're aware of what's going on. I understand that, but I want to make the point clear that as we are waiting for God, it doesn't give us license or permission to just go crazy. The best place would be in the upper room. Where is that? That was a place of fellowship with God himself. That is surrounded by fellow Christians that encourage one another, that help one another. As we're waiting for direction maybe for your life, as you're praying for what's the next step in your life, what's the next step for your family, what's the next step for you as an individual, that doesn't mean that we just withdraw ourselves from everybody. No, this is a time where I'm in a good place, I'm in a safe place, I'm in a place around people that have the same desires. Waiting in the upper room was a place for fellowship. Again, we saw that even as Jacob went back to Bethel one day. Number two, it was a place for prayer. As we look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, it says this, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. There was a group assembled here as we're waiting on God, as we're in the upper room waiting for direction, as we're waiting for these things. Now we make the application in our life. As I'm waiting for direction for my life, number one, that's a place for fellowship. Number two, it's a place for prayer. We continue in prayer. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Here they're praying. Do they know what's next? No. Are they fearful? Yes. Again, let's just examine the situation. Their leader, who has victory over sin and death, has just left. And he says, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for what? For how long? What are we watching for? What are we supposed to do? He says, just wait. Are we allowed to just wait? That's hard. I understand that's hard. So what did they do? Well, they together, I like that. It says this, with the women. Hey, it wasn't just a secluded group. There was a group of people that met together on a regular basis while waiting on God. that they besought the Lord in prayer. Waiting on the Lord, the Bible uses this, not only altogether, but I want to introduce a word to you, solace. What does that mean? It's like a combination of peace and stillness. When you're waiting on the Lord, there's a lot of things that just don't matter anymore. There's an ability to give some focus directly to God Himself. The times of prayer on waiting for the Lord can be a very sweet time. We see this exemplified with Christ in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says this, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Why? Why? Because he just wanted a one-on-one connection. He wanted some communication with the Lord. He wanted to be able to talk to Him as God would soon lead him and show him what it is that he wanted him to do. In Mark chapter 1, very early, we see a connection in prayer. This is real communication. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Hey, remember when we are in a place of waiting for the Lord, this is not we neglect our Christian responsibilities. As a child of God, there's things I ought to be doing. Hey, I'm waiting on God. All right, I'm just going to sit. No, we ought to be active in some things. We ought to be in the place of fellowship with God and with others that desire to serve Him. But secondly, we ought to be in communication with Him. Well, I'm waiting on God. I'm just gonna stop doing everything. No. They continued in prayer. Not only is it a place for fellowship, not only is it a place for prayer, but thirdly, it's a place for study. Say, study? I don't see them studying anywhere here. I mean, I don't see books open. Or in Psalm 130 in verse 5. Psalm 130 in verse 5. It says this, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait." Now look at third phrase, "and in His word do I hope." As I'm waiting for God, much like as they prayed continually, there's some things that as we wait on the Lord for direction in our life, as we're doing what He has told us to do, there's some things we don't neglect. And the Word of God is one of those. We saw the value in prayer. We see the value in the Word of God. I heard someone say this past week, "I read the Bible through and then they put it aside." No, I want to explain. I bought a new book yesterday. I'm super excited about it. Amazon, who knows when it's going to get here. The shipping is all goofy, but I bought the autobiography of Hudson Taylor. Excited to hear his view of what God did in his life. I'm really excited to hear his heart in the matter. Maybe I'll read it once, maybe twice. There's certain books in my life that I've enjoyed multiple times. But the Bible, I personally don't keep track of how many times I've read the Bible through. But do you understand that this book is inexhaustible? That the truths of the Word of God, as we go through our life, certain verses are more applicable than others. I mean, it's all applicable. Please don't get me wrong with that. But there's certain times in our life where we're at a certain place that maybe a verse that I've read the Bible and come to it and said, "I didn't even know that verse was in here. How did I miss that?" Well, maybe I just wasn't looking for that at that last time. The Word of God is inexhaustible. And as we wait for the Lord, the Bible says, "And in His Word do I hope." As we're waiting for the Lord, not only are we studying, is it a place for study, but it is a place of dependence. As we open this, are we searching the Scriptures daily, as the Bible says, for a nugget of truth, for direction in our life? We've spoken on this multiple times, that as the Bible leads us and guides us. Is there a yearning, as the Bible says in Psalm 130 and verse 5, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait." Is there a yearning of my soul for the communication with God. It's a sad state if we are reading our Bibles out of duty. It's just another checklist on our to-do list for the day. No, I need to encourage you that this is a deep communication with God. It is our dependence on the Lord. And how we approach the Word of God is of utmost importance to the Christian. Our attitude towards the Word of God. Do we take these verses lightly? Do we look at these things and go, well, this just doesn't, I just don't want to make application. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it show where I can take a verse and say, I just don't want this. No. It's all for us. And as I'm waiting for the Lord, one thing that I can be doing is deepening my connection to Him through His Word. A dependence upon the Lord through His inexhaustible Word. Fourthly, as we look at what it means to be waiting in the upper room, it's a place for reset. Say, you added a word, it should be rest. No, reset. Psalm 27:14 says this, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. A strengthening. You know, in the morning, I don't know how you feel when you wake up. I hope you feel refreshed. You know, as we go through the process of waiting for the Lord and waiting on God, the Bible says that this, He will strengthen our heart. Why? Because it's a time that He gets to change us directly. As I said that earlier, the process of waiting for the Lord, He gets to deal with us specifically. But the Bible says this here. It's a time that He can strengthen us. It's a time of introspection. What does that mean? That means looking in. As I'm sitting there and kind of evaluating my circumstances, as I'm sitting there evaluating myself, my relationship with Him, my relationship with others, as I reflect upon myself, why? Because I'm just sitting there waiting. How would you like to go to the doctor's office and sit in the waiting room? I don't. Why? Because here I am at the doctor's office. Maybe it's a specialist and I don't know how this appointment's going to go. And I'm thinking on things and I'm seeing people come out and tears in their eyes. And am I ready for this? As we are waiting, what is it? It draws us, maybe some of these other things would have us look at circumstances around. What does this do? It has us take a look at things within. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with one face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the image from glory to glory. See, one of the, even as the Spirit of the Lord, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, I said this earlier, but God uses that waiting time to change us. How so? Because as I'm looking at these things, I'm evaluating myself and Him. And it allows me to perfect myself. Not make myself perfect, but make changes that align with the Word of God. It's a time of introspection. It's a time of evaluation, personal evaluation. It's a time for God to strengthen me, not physically, but spiritually. Familiar verse, Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What is it? It's a reset. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As we go through these days, here we are, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks out. I don't know how long it's been. At least a month. Maybe it's been a time where you can look at yourself, have some downtime, cut away some of the peripheral distractions and obstacles and allow you to deal with yourself in a way that maybe you just didn't have time for before, that you were so busy, you were just doing thing after thing. Well, now I'm finding myself sitting in the chair with the Word of God in front of me, and I have nothing else planned. It allows me to reset based on the Word of God. It's allowing me to strengthen myself, to fix things. So as you find yourself waiting in the upper room, are you using that time? Have you gone to the place for fellowship, for prayer, for study, and for reset? Lastly, as we find ourselves waiting in the upper room, it is a place for readiness. To do nothing until commanded to. Micah 7:7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. I'm just waiting, Lord. You tell me when to go, and I'll go. Sometimes the Lord has to bring us to a place of waiting because we weren't listening. He has a great way of cutting away those things that are so easily distracting to us. He has a great way of simplifying our life, showing us what is most important. And then, as we saw, as we are reading the Word of God, our dependence upon God, it brings us to a place of readiness now. So I ask you, are you waiting on the Lord? Are you ready for the next command? Are you hearing His voice? I love those verses out of John chapter 10. My sheep, they know me, they hear my voice, and they follow me. But how could we follow somebody or obey someone that we can't even hear? Putting us in the upper room waiting on Him helps us to tune our ear to the voice of God. It helps us be ready for the next thing. So are you waiting? Sad story. A young man who was returning home to be married came sooner than he expected. He did not notify his bride-to-be of the exact time. He desired to please her with a surprise. He loved her devotedly and had worked hard and saved his earnings in order to purchase a home for her. It was about midnight when he arrived, but with a happy heart, he felt he must go by her home. However, when he came near, he saw the house was all lighted up. As he came nearer, he heard music. Still nearer, he saw dancing. Finally, looking through the window, he saw his bride-to-be in the embrace of another man. His heart sank within him. He went away never to return. If Jesus came back today, are we waiting for Him? If Jesus came today, where would He find His professed bride? Are we waiting for are we ready for? Or are we distracted with the cares of this life? God is working. I know we're at the conclusion, so don't stop listening. I want you to hear this. God is working while you are waiting on Him. He is doing things peripherally, getting things ready. God does not take breaks. He does not turn off. And He is very much aware of your situation. God placed you in the upper room, waiting on Him for a purpose. And I dare say one of those main purposes is humility. To just rely on Him. So oftentimes, as the Lord tells us to wait, we want to be busy. Yeah, but we just need to depend on the Lord. My resources are, the resources of me are going to waste. I have such opportunities. And God says, nah, What I have is better. Last verses, Psalm 33 and verse 20. O soul, waiteth for the Lord. Psalm 33:20. O soul, waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee. Is your soul waiting on the Lord today? As the disciples were sent to the upper room, they were sent to Jerusalem. They knew right where to go. It was a place of fellowship. It was a place for prayer. It was a place for study. It was a place for reset. Evaluation of where are we at? Where are we going? What is God doing in my life? It was a place of readiness. Available. He says, I want you to wait until the promise comes. And oh man, what a thing happens in Acts chapter 2. It is no doubt that the Lord shows up and guides and directs each of our characters here. Last week, last Sunday night, Pastor Seatman preached on Peter following the Lord. This is just following that. Here, God uses Peter in a mighty way, but He had to get him alone for a little while. Hey, wait for me in that upper room, would you? I got to get some things ready, and then I'll call for you when I'm ready. Hey, Christian, don't get ahead of the Lord. Don't get out of the wrong place. When he came looking for the disciples, He knew right where to go. He ought to find us right where He told us to wait, on Him. If I could encourage you again, to make application of these things personally in your life. I know waiting is hard, but it's a chance for the Lord to strengthen and grow us. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this time. Thank You for Your goodness and Your grace to us. God, may we be patient on You. May we wait on You. Lord, may we be faithful in the things that You've called us to, but Lord, help us to not get ahead. Lord, thank You for Your patience with us. Lord, I ask You to bless the rest of our day here today. Be with Pastor Seatman as he preaches. And thank You for the lessons Mr. Bauman has done. And Lord, again, just have Your hand about all these things. God, help us to surrender our will for Yours. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.